on God's vision.
Amen.
So I don't care what you're doing, and I'm happy about what everybody's doing, whether you're in college, you're starting a business, you got a new place, yeah, you're decorating. Hallelujah. To me, that is all beautiful, because I said it last week because the Lord said it to me. I don't care how far the rapture is, I'm concerned with my children today.
Amen.
So, but he said, but my job is to not get on the bandwagon of what the world's doing. I have what God's doing.
Yeah.
And what God is doing is we're on, okay? And we know we're in the timeline, and we know where we're at in history, and we know what's going on around the world. A lot of us in America are really still the last of the people that have more freedoms than anybody else in the world.
Yeah.
Because if you go to Australia or Germany, many of those places, you can't go to the store or anything unless, you know, you show your card or it. I mean, so they're under a lot more, and they got facilities where they send you to in Australia.
Mm.
They got facilities where they send you to where you have to stay there. And a couple guys that escaped from the I forget what they call it, but it's like a camp. But some guys that escaped, I'm like, how do you mean you escaped? He's like, first of all, we weren't sick. And we told them we weren't when they caught us, but they said we didn't have our card. So anyway, I'm just telling you right now, we still have more freedoms than anybody else.
Yes,
okay. So don't get delirious thinking like, oh, it's getting back to normal, because we have to give you a plane ticket to Austria or Australia and then let you stay there for a week or so.
Amen.
And see what other people are going through. But, you know, like I said, the agenda is not changed. It's not going to change until we get out of here, okay?
Right.
Yeah.
Concentration.
Yeah. I was trying to not call them
containment centers?
I don't know what they're called, but anyway, they have them in Australia. They have the name of it and everything. So, the title of today's message is Because We Have This Countdown. Now, this is the countdown. The countdown is that 2021, according to scripture, is the year of ascension. It is the year that we ascend up, okay? 2021 lasts till April 2nd, okay? After April 2nd, I would not be able to come to you and say, I have another theory about the rapture, okay? I would not. If I come to you after that, it's because the Lord came to me and told me, tomorrow's the day and be ready. So there's no more theories to come up with. You understand? That's why I say I love this, because it's contained within this framework of God's prophecy, which says this is when it happens. Okay. So what I want to say is we have until that time, which I don't know how many days, but I know now there's a guy that Dr. Barry Awe, who's saying the rapture is going to happen December 4th. December 31st. And December 31st is the 4th of Hanukkah. And is he correct in making that assessment? He definitely is, because of what I'm going to show you in scripture, that the 31st of December is the 4th of Hanukkah, which is the day that Lazarus was raised from the grave, okay? And God counted 40 days from the 17th of Hanukkah to the 4th day of Heshvan, okay? I mean, to the fourth day of Hanukkah. So from the 17th of Heshvan to the fourth of Hanukkah is 40 days every year, okay? So it's measured out in that way because it is a prophecy, and we have to see what that prophecy details. I don't know if it's going to be December 31st. I don't think anybody knows. But biblically, it being correct, as one of the prophecy watch dates, it is biblically correct, okay? biblically correct before the end of 2021, which is April 2nd, it is biblically correct, okay? Are we supposed to put things on hold because the rapture is coming? You should know better, right? Okay. So I was watching something with Andrea the other day. I called her Andrea. And I saw this quote, and it says, "Don't count the days, make the days count."
Wow.
And the Lord immediately says, that's the title of tomorrow's message. Don't count the days, make the days count. Okay? Because there are a lot of people that still don't know Christ that we have not addressed. My daughter called me.
What?
I mean, not called me. She hit me up on Facebook. She unblocked me. Merry Christmas and all this. And that is a result of a lot of prayers, because I never thought I'd hear from her again, right? And it was just pretty nice. I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. And I've been in prayer for her, or Drea's been in prayer for her, really, like more often than myself. I'm in prayer, and I want to witness to some people on my block, especially the men and some families. And there's a Muslim family on my block that I've never really asked them if they would like to know about Jesus, you know? So basically, I can't sit here and say, well, if the rapture happens, too bad for them, you know, because I haven't made the effort to try to reach them with Christ. You understand? Mm-hmm. So me making an effort to not just count days, but make the days count has to be reality for me. Okay. So I don't know if I have till December 31st or I have till spring, because there's definitely the whole book of Song of Song is about a spring rapture.
Yeah.
Okay. And I know that the end of 2021 is April 2nd. So I don't know how much time, but I'm not going to be counting days. I'm going to be making each day count, making sure that I'm witnessing to the right people, that I'm sharing Christ. I'm going to call everybody that I've talked to personally at S4C that, you know, that I've talked to in the last, you know, 2 or 3 years or a year or so, right? And it was a great idea at first. I've talked to 370 people from all around the world. So I was like, well, I don't have time to call 370 people. So that became not a good idea. But it just showed me how busy I had been without even thinking about it, you know? And it showed me also that this church has been established by God, and He's using it to help people all around the world. Men were calling me to thank me about Ryan and the men's ministry and saying, thanks for having salt at the church. And now, you know, I can take about that much credit for establishing salt, other than the fact that he came to church and God put it on his heart to do it, right? But it's helping a lot of men to grow in Christ, to hear practical things about spiritual growth in Christ, okay? Because we got problems, men do. I don't know if you ladies know. But yeah, we have some problems that, you know, we can sharpen each other and keep each other online, right? So praise God. So as the Lord was telling me to make sure that we're making each day count, he wanted me to go over the book or the story of Jonah, okay? And so if you have your Bible with you, I want you to go to the book of Jonah. And we're going to look at it, but not overly look at it, because I have to move on. But I want you guys to know the base of the Bible and what's going on in this event with Jonah in the Bible, okay?
Yeah.
First of all, you need to know that there's a prophecy before God told him to go preach to him. There's a prophecy in the Bible that the people of Nineveh are going to subdue Israel and treat them very badly, okay? So just say, for example, someone gave you a prophecy that a certain person was going to come to your house and mistreat your family. And then God told you to go preach to them and pray for them. And you would go, no, this person don't mean me any good. Well, this is how Nineveh was with Jonah. Jonah knew that Nineveh was prophesied that one day it would do very bad things to the people of Israel. So when God told him to go, he's like, no. If you're going to judge them, wipe them off the earth. That'll get rid of the prophecy and everything will be fine. So you have to understand Jonah's mindset.
Yeah.
He was a nationalist. He loved Israel. That's why he refused to go, because he knew the prophecy concerning Nineveh. Okay. So when he decided not to go to Nineveh and to get on a boat and to go to Tarshish, as he's on his way in this boat, and the rough times come and the boat begins to shake and move back and forth, and the men are on board and they're trying to figure out what is the problem here. When we started off, before we let that guy on board, we were riding smooth. Everything was excellent. Now he gets on board. Now there's a big storm. The winds are blowing, the boat's rocking back and forth, we're about to die. And so they said, we got to figure out what the problem is. Well, they pulled straws and they found out it landed on Jonah. And they said, what have you done? And he said, I told you, I'm running from God, you know? And he said, so they, being good people, they was like, well, they went back to pray and asked God, what can we do with this guy? And then Jonah said, well, throw me overboard and everything will be fine. And so they still didn't want to. They went and prayed like, Lord, we want to do the right thing, but if we do, don't blame us, you know.
Right.
So they went back and said, Jonah, come here. The Lord answered our prayer. 1, 2, 3. And Jonah's in the water, right? As soon as they did, the Bible says the water's calmed,
yeah,
and the boat was smooth. And I just imagine the guys on the board like, whew, we got rid of him, right? So now the real problem is this. Now that Jonah is in the water, now that he has been swallowed by a whale, said that God prepared a whale to swallow him. He's been swallowed by a whale. Then the whale spits him up on the third day, and there he is in Nineveh. Ever happened to you before? Is it like you're going to be where I want you to be, right? So now he's in Nineveh, and God says, okay, we're going to try this again. Go and preach to the people of Nineveh. Tell them they have 40 days. And then destruction is coming. Jonah agrees to preach the message. He goes to them and he lets them know that because of your evil ways, in 40 days, God is going to wipe this place out. And he was happy to preach that to them. He didn't preach that like, so you should repent. He never said repent. He just said, in 40 days, y'all gonna get it. God told me, 40 days, you done. Then, you know, you did like, yeah. Then turn around and went, yeah, and walked off. But these were human beings, right? That God had created. And they're trying, and so, but when he preached and he expected them not to repent,
right. The
king there repented, all the way up to the king repented, and he commanded everybody to repent with sackcloth and ashes. He says, even put it on the animals. He says, everybody's repenting because they believed what Jonah preached. And so the whole kingdom repented and asked God's forgiveness and said, we're going to change our ways. Jonah turns around and sees everybody praising God and thanking him for not bringing, because you know, on the 40th day, Jonah's on top of a mountain like this. Let's go. And so Jonah's like, yeah, get him. And then God is like, why did this guy has the wrong attitude, right? Because if you understand the rapture, a lot of us are really happy about the rapture, but we haven't thought about what's going to happen to people when we leave.
Right.
We read about it, but we don't really understand how bad it's going to get.
Right.
And I've got news for you. Human beings aren't tough people.
No.
They are not tough people. I don't care how bad, tough you are. I've been in prison, doing prison ministry, and they had an earthquake while we were in there. You know what all those hardcore criminals did? Running, jumping under tables. I was like, and y'all the toughest of the toughest. Everybody's under, from the buffest guy to the smallest guy, everybody's under a table curled up. So human beings are not tough people. We haven't experienced anything traumatic or dramatic. So, you know, we think that we're tough, but we know we're not tough. I mean, even sometimes a word can last you your whole life. That's how God made us sensitive. You understand?
Yeah.
So the people that are going to go through the tribulation are not robots.
Right.
They're human beings who went to elementary school like you, who had families like you. All of these things that humans experience, they are the same as we are. You understand?
Yeah.
So I'm going to read the last part of this so that we understand, because I want you to know what God's attitude with Jonah was. So if you're in the book of Jonah, and we're in chapter 4, and it says, now, when God saved them, it says, but Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. Guys, wait, you saved them? Why you save them? They repented. What does that mean? Get them. Jonah is very upset. It says, but Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. He prayed to the Lord. Oh, Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live.
Wow.
That's Jonah's attitude. I knew you were a nice guy deep down inside, and you didn't want to do this to these people. That's why I didn't want to preach to them. And now they done repented and you saved them. You might as well take my life now. This is Jonah's attitude. Then it says here in verse 4, but the Lord replied, have you any right to be angry? Jonah went out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord provided a vine that and made it grow up over Jonah to give him shade for his head to ease and his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the vine. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the vine so that it withered. And when the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, it would be better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, do you have the right to be angry about the vine? I do, he said. I am angry enough to die. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about the vine, though you did not tend, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I have been concerned about that city? So he wants to know, these people don't know their right hand from their left. See, we're all happy about knowing Jesus and being saved, and I don't get high no more. I stop cursing. I don't hang out in the clubs no more. And we think all of this is because we're beautiful people. But God caused that vine to grow up in us. When we accepted Christ, he gave us a change of heart,
yeah,
a change of mind.
Yeah.
You need your own place. You need your own car.
Yeah.
You need. So he's provided all of this for us.
Yeah.
So he's saying, so should you not be concerned about these other people who still getting high, still clubbing, mm-hmm, still cursing?
Yeah.
And don't know their right hand from their left. And mostly they don't know their right hand from their left because Christians don't like to witness.
Yeah.
It's a horrible rejection,
mm-hmm,
to try to share what has changed your life,
yeah,
and brought you life,
yeah,
with somebody who used to be you. I thank God for the young man who preached to me Jesus Christ at the quad at Fremont High School in 1979. And I'm telling you right now, just him telling me about Jesus almost got him beat up. And I mean by me. Because who are you to come tell me about Jesus with your little funny looking, cut your afro off and don't have an earring in your ear no more and carrying a Bible around school? Who are you to tell me about Jesus? I should knock you out. I'm a big football player at the school. Get away from me with all that. No, man, you should come to Bible study with me. Just hear what the man has to say. My idea was this, and you guys heard it before. I'm gonna go with you. You know why? Because you look ridiculous. 1979, nobody was cutting their afros off. Everybody trying to grow afros.
Yeah.
He done cut his afro off with a cross around his neck and a Bible in his hand. I said, I'm going to go just so I can see what happened to you because you look ridiculous. They came and picked me up in the van. I went to Inglewood. He said, don't bring any weapon. I know we're going to Inglewood, but don't bring any weapon. Okay, I won't. But Inglewood's not a safe place for me to be going. But okay, I'll do that. I get there, and for the first time, because I've gone to church with my mother, I never understood a word them people said. Between the ha, I didn't understand words that people ever said. I'm almost finished. I would sit there as a kid. I would sit there as a kid thinking like these people high. What is this? We ain't said nothing. Read one scripture and then start grunting and grinding and running across the stage. And everybody's cheering him on like he's saying something. And I'm as a kid sitting like, he ain't said nothing. Now I'm at a church and the guy is explaining to me the gospel. He's telling me that there is a hell that exists and you're on your way there. But you can change your life by accepting Jesus Christ tonight. And he said, now I want to read some things in the scripture to explain to you what hell is so you know what you're volunteering for. Wow. Now he's got my attention. I put my little rag, you know, you had a little, let me tell you, so I had my hairnet on. I'm like, disrespectful. I got my hairnet on with my braids, right? And my braids, and I'm like, all right, let me take the rag and put it in my pocket. And so he's still preaching. He's like, well, I'm going to tell you, go to Romans. This is how. You got to believe that God exists. And then you got to believe that he died on the cross for your sins. And you've got to confess your sins and you've got to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you don't, what I just read to you, the place where people are in fire and worms are crawling on them, that will be your home for eternity. 17, I'm like... Does anybody know about this? Are we though? I'm thinking like, I've never heard this before. How many people know about this?
Wow.
And Jesus saved me from this by dying on the cross? That was that picture was all about in my house? I had never heard the gospel. I went forth to give my life to Christ. He was scared because I was a big guy. And I'm like, I came to accept Christ. I had to explain to him. I didn't come up here to fight. I came to accept Christ. But you know, you got that little walk when you're 17. Yeah. So he don't know what you want. So I accepted Christ. Then I got baptized that night. When I came out the water, I'm speaking in tongues. I go home. I break up with my girlfriend. The next day is beautiful. I don't want to curse anymore. It was the beginning of me being a born again Christian.
Yeah.
He was preaching to me, but he was an ex-gang member. Which is really why I was mad at him. Because how you gonna say you're not with this anymore, and now you're a Christian? But I'll go. So you have to understand, people who you stand in line and you say, these people ain't got no manners. These people still cursing. What'd you do last night? Went to the clubs. Oh, these people, they don't understand that Jesus can change them. Because you ain't told them.
Yeah, yeah.
You gotta. What I'm gonna do to make the days count is I want to get 200 rejections. Because if I get 200 rejections, I might catch one fish.
Right.
I want 200 people to say, please don't hand me that. You understand?
Yes.
Because I've got to expect that they won't want it, but I've got to know that I've got to make the days count.
Yeah.
Because I understand we're on a timeline. Fig Tree Generation is almost done.
Yeah.
Okay? Fig Tree Generation is almost done. And rather it happens on the 4th of Hanukkah or in this year that we're supposed to ascend, I know that time is done. I'm not going to jump off of what God told me to do to get on your bandwagon because the Super Bowl is coming,
right,
or you want to know who the next NBA championship or who did. I don't care.
Amen.
What I do know is Israel is back on earth. 19 years later, they got Jerusalem. I know right now the situation we are in with this whole 666 and this cryptocurrency, which you guys are not looking at,
right,
but they're slipping it in.
Mm-hmm.
Staples Center is no longer the Staples Center.
Right.
Cryptocurrency is under the same number as the VAX. It's 666, 060606. It's for this. And it's also for cryptocurrency, which is coming. So both the finances and this are both under 666. And now you're going to see crypto.com above the Staples Center. Because the whole world will worship the beast.
Yeah.
You see, we see stuff happening, and God already told us about this 2,000 years ago.
Right.
And we see it happening. Cryptocurrency is under the same patent number.
Wow.
It's 060606. So when they change the currency over to be able to buy or spend, because they want all your money to be on cryptocurrency, they got to phase this cash thing out. So I know we're on a short time.
Yeah.
So I've got to make my days count.
Yeah. Amen.
Please go with me to the Gospel of John. Hallelujah. We're going to be in John chapter 10. Because I want to tell you why my friend Dr. Barry R. is so excited, and he's telling people, oh, and I'm 100% with him. Don't think I'm in disagreement with him, because, you know, when God puts something in the scriptures, he's showing it to you for a reason, because it's prophesying about something that is supposed to happen. That's fulfilling prophecy. 17th of Heshvan didn't happen. But the fact that the 4th of Hanukkah is exactly 40 days from the 17th of Heshvan kind of makes me sit up and alert, okay? And so, let me see if I can. Okay, the Lord said, just read this first. Okay, here you go. You're in chapter 10. Let's go to verse 22. It says, then came the feast of dedication at Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus was in the temple area walking in Solomon's colonnade. So now, why do you think God wants you to know that it's the feast of dedication, which is Hanukkah coming up on the 28th? Why do you think he wants you to know that Jesus is here? It's winter, okay? And he wants you to know the Feast of Dedication just started. Okay? So, it says, the Jews gathered around him saying, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. So Jesus goes through this whole conversation like, I already told you that I'm the Christ. And now they're they want to kill him. And Jesus says, for what crime are you trying to kill me? He says, because you are a man are trying to make yourself to be God. Now, how does the Pharisees know that he's trying to say he's God? And people today say, oh, Jesus is not God. Jesus was always saying he was God. So we get to chapter 11, verse 1. And it says, now a man named Lazarus was sick. And he was in Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now laid sick, was the same one who poured myrrh on, or if it says perfume in yours, it poured myrrh on the Lord and wiped it with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus. It says, Lord, the one who you love is sick. She's telling him, hey, she sent someone to tell him, hey, Lazarus is sick. Jesus says this. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for the glory of God, so that God's Son may be glorified through it.
Yeah.
So what happened when he died to the guy he just told that? Huh? Because eventually Lazarus dies. Yeah. Jesus doesn't even go to Bethany for 4 days after he hears this. Yeah. Just going back, tell him it's not to death. He's going to be fine. Mm-hmm. This is just to glorify God. The guy goes back and tells Mary and Martha, hey, Jesus said, don't worry about it. It's not going to end in death, and he's going to be fine. Half a day later, he's dead. Right?
Yeah.
So what are they thinking now? What Jesus told us isn't true. You don't know what God's doing.
Right. Come on. That's right.
That's what people don't understand. You don't know what God's doing. The thing I love about football is that it's on a time cycle, right? Mm-hmm. And when fourth quarter is over, when the fourth quarter is over, the game's over. You either won or you lost.
Right.
Unless you have overtime. And now they got to explain to you the rules all over again, okay? Because I don't know why we're still here. Prophetically, we're not supposed to be here. But somebody's in overtime.
Right.
Come on.
And somebody better realize the game is still on.
Yes.
Unless cryptocurrency is just something nice they're doing for mankind. Like getting everybody, we want everybody to be well and happy and have the finances that you need. That's all. That's why we're doing it. You know what I mean? Because we love humans. All Nephilim love humans. See, yeah. That you got to understand the sarcasm behind that.
Right, right.
Okay?
Right.
So let's continue. It says, the sickness will not end in death. No, it is for the glory of God, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, yet when he heard Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to the disciples, let us go back to Judea. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago, the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back there? Jesus answered, stop. Lord told me to stop. He said, notice that Jesus is going back to the place. They believe he's going back to the place where they were trying to kill him. He said, when I come down for my church, they don't understand. I'm not going back. I'm going there to call somebody out. Do you understand?
Yeah.
And so he's showing you, he's setting up the scenario so that you understand. Jesus answered, he says, are there not 12 hours of a day? And a man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light. After he said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus is falling asleep, but I am going to wake him up.
Yeah.
I have to stop there because in verse 9, Jesus just said, there are 12 hours in a day. And in 12 hours in the day, if the light is with you, share it. Because the time of light is going to disappear. The time of the daytime where you can go out and witness and tell somebody about Jesus is almost done.
Yeah.
You understand? Those days are almost finished. So now is the time, if you have someone or you know someone, to let them reject you.
Yes.
Let them say, there she go talking to me about Jesus again. You know what it does? God says, I just cleared you on that one. She won't be able to say you didn't tell her when I bring her forth. Understand?
Yeah.
I want God to clear me. Mm-hmm. Clear me on everybody who I have not told about Christ. I want to be cleared. I want to say, I told that person. Okay? And so I want to use this time where there is light and we can preach the gospel.
Amen.
Okay. His disciples replied, Lord, if he sleep, he will get better. Jesus Jesus had been speaking to about his death, but his disciples thought he was talking about natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him. Then Thomas, you know who Thomas this is, right? I won't believe you, Jesus, until I feel the nails in your hand. This is this Thomas, okay? Watch his sarcasm. Then Thomas, called Dunamis, says to the rest of the disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Oh. There's your scoffer.
Yep.
Jesus is coming back, but there's going to be scoffers when he comes.
Yep.
There's your scoffer. Okay. Then it says in verse 17, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was 15. If you have a King James Bible, it says 15 what? 15 furlongs from where they were. So we're talking about Samek. We're talking about the rescue. We're talking about the 120, the beginning of judgment. You have to understand why there's 15 furlongs away. God is telling you this is the Samek. This is the time of judgment. And it says here, when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. The Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again at the resurrection in the last days. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You've got to understand some of the things that Jesus is saying here are just blowing their mind. He just told her that even though you're dead, I'm the resurrection, I'm the life, I'm the one who resurrects the dead. Martha answered, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whosoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Do you guys believe that?
Yes.
Man, because that's what I'm in this for. I'm in this to win.
Yeah.
This is a game on a timeline, and I'm in this to win. Yes, Lord, she told him, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who came into the world. After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard, she got up quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews had heard, now here, let me get onto this. The Lord wanted me to show you this stuff before we run out of time. Okay. It's 40 days from the 17th of Hezron to the 4th of Hanukkah every year. God measured it so that the day that the judgment upon the world started to the day of the fourth day of Hanukkah, when he's about to show you a resurrection, calling people out of the ground, okay, is 40 days from that time, okay? Now, Lazarus, what does Lazarus mean? It's a Greek term for Eleazar. You understand? It's just the Greek. Eleazar means God's helper. Eleazar is a representation of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So God is not just calling Lazarus out of the dead. That's the sample he's trying to give you. He's telling Lazarus to come out of there. And when Eleazar leaves here, who's he taking?
The church.
The church. Okay, look. 40 days. It says 40 days is always the time of testing. 40 always ends the test. From Elul to Tishri 10, when Moses came down from the mountain, was 40 days, okay? Jesus fasted for 40 days. There's just so many 40-day incidents in Scripture. The wandering in the wilderness, 40 years. 40 is always this time of the judgment or the end of a matter, okay? In Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, Eleazar of Damascus is sitting there talking to Abraham about going to a land to get a wife for God's son. So Eleazar goes out and finds a bride for Isaac, puts her on a camel, and brings her back for the marriage. You understand? So that's Eleazar. Now, Damascus means silent sackcloth, which sackcloth is repentance, okay? Damascus used to be called, it was called silent sackcloth, which means quiet repentance, but after Saul met Jesus on the road of Damascus, they start calling it Telia, which means perfect love, the road to perfect love. So it says the road to repentance is the road now called perfect love. Okay? So Saul meets Jesus on Damascus Road and he finds Christ. Understand? Now, let's continue. Bethany, which is the place they're going, is called the house of unripe figs. So the place where he's going to resurrect him is called the place where figs are not ready. Who's the figs?
Israel.
Israel's not ready. It's also called the house of misery. So now, the house that we live in, which is called Earth, it's a lot of bad stuff going on. Eleazar is about to be called out of the house of misery. Eleazar is about to be called out of the house of misery that has unripe figs in it. Jews that aren't ready to go. So when someone's telling you about Hanukkah, they're telling you about a real watch day that's on God's clock that Christians need to be aware of. You understand?
Yes.
Listen. When the game's over, the game's over. You have to understand that.
Yeah.
Enjoy life. God told me last week, I'm concerned about my children daily, daily, daily. I want to make sure they have the food they need, the things they need, the shelter they need. I'm concerned about my kids every day. I'm not so deep into the rapture that I've forgotten about my kids and where they live and what they need. So continue in that. Enjoy your family. I had a great Christmas. I wasn't sitting there thinking about the rapture. I'm thinking about enjoying my family.
Amen.
But I know one day when the trumpet blows, my plan is over.
Right.
Mama said, get in the car.
Right.
Get in the car.
Amen.
Bethany, the house and a place of unripe figs. Israel is not ready. It's the village located in the east slope of Mount Olive. I got this from their Jewish thing. About 15 furlongs from Jerusalem. Jesus leaves Jerusalem to go where? Where is he at right now? And he's in the temple in heavenly Jerusalem. He's going to leave Jerusalem to go to Bethany. What's Bethany? Place of misery where the figs aren't ready. He leaves Jerusalem to go there. For what purpose? To call Eleazar, come up out of there. And God made sure you know that it happens on the fourth Hanukkah, 40 days after, okay? So when this guy's going, is the rapture going to be on the fourth of Hanukkah? And people going, he doesn't know the day of the hour. He doesn't. But is it a watch day? Yes, it is.
Watch day. Come on. Yeah.
It's not a watch day because he ate donuts and went to bed too early. It's a watch day because of scripture. You understand? Because you can dream all kind of crazy stuff.
Right.
But it's scripture. You understand?
Yeah.
That's what we're doing. We're watching scripture to say, hey, look out for this date. You understand?
Yes.
Bethany was also a place where sick people went. It's where sick, remember the pool that you got into to get, that was there. So that's a place where sick people are and they're waiting to get healed. It's a place of misery and it's a place where the figs aren't ready to go. Sounds like earth.
Yeah.
And so now we get to the portion where Jesus finally gets there. Now I've heard this, I've heard people preach this and I go, be quiet, you don't know what he's saying.
Amen.
You don't know what he's saying. Well, see, the Lord said, he called his name Lazarus, because if he didn't say Lazarus, everybody would have got up.
Ay, ay, ay. Oh my goodness.
Me and the Lord are sitting there like this. I know God is in heaven like, oh, man. They just be, see how they're jacking up my word? See?
Oh, my goodness. That's
he's calling Lazarus forth because Lazarus is Eleazar in Hebrew. He's saying, Holy Spirit, time is done. Come out and bring my people.
Amen.
That's why. Because if he don't call the Holy Spirit out, there's nobody else can follow him.
That's right. That's right. 7 minutes, Pastor.
So we have to understand there are many rapture scenarios in the Bible. And God is always trying to tell you, one day the game's going to be over.
Right.
Now, if it goes past the fourth day of Hanukkah, guess what? There's until April 2nd is the last of this ascension year, which is 2021, is the last of the ascension year, is April 2nd. So still in the book of Song of Songs, it's all about a bride going out to the field to see and then being caught up into heaven in the springtime.
Yeah.
So then you'd have to look at that scripture. But one thing for absolute, you have to understand, when the game is over, it's over, okay? You can join the world. You can do whatever you want to do. Okay, and if one more crazy person say, if you took the vax, that means you took the mark of the beast and you no longer be saved. You are ridiculous, crazy. God did not tell you that.
He did not.
Come on.
Because it's not. Is it a good idea? I don't think so. Will that person be gone in heaven? If that person is still a Christian, when they take it and the rapture happens, they're going to be gone.
That's right.
They're going to be gone.
That's right.
So it doesn't matter at that time. It don't matter. You'll be gone.
That's right.
So you have to understand and know God knows that we're living in a world of deception.
Yes.
And God knows what's going on. If it was the mark of the beast, God would send angels in the sky to tell you, do not take the mark.
Right.
Anyone who takes it from this point on will not be.
Yeah.
God says when that happens, he's going to send angels in the sky to preach it to them.
Yeah.
So that nobody can be deceived.
Right.
In the tribulation, angels flying around telling people, don't do it. I don't care how nice it looks on TV. Don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
When that happens, you'll know you're at the end because God has that covered.
That's right.
But this deception.
Right.
So what? If Satan sent somebody in here right now and they riddled me with bullets, you know where I would go be in the next 3 seconds?
Yeah.
Heaven.
Right.
Those who believed in me will never die.
That's right.
Do you believe this? Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not scared about it. You know how many people lived in this body? Billions. Billions of people have lived in this body. And a lot of them are gone either up or down. But one thing's for sure, life continues on.
Yeah.
I'm just making sure that I have a good ending.
Yeah.
And that I'm at the victory party.
Amen.
You understand?
Because
we're not in control of the game. Mm-mm. But God has given us markers. He said it's four quarters and you get overtime. That's right. Okay. But don't think I'm going to be sitting here preaching the rapture 20 years from now. It's still coming, guys. I'm 104, but I'm telling you, no. It's on a time marker.
Amen.
You understand?
Thank God.
That 80 years includes the tribulation,
yeah,
and we're at the door of it.
Yeah.
So praise God. Continue living. Continue enjoying your time. Continue loving each other. Continue encouraging each other in Christ.
Yeah.
True life is in Jesus Christ. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.